Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking, we're going right into picking up where we were in the first hour, talking about a biblical perspective, a biblical wise perspective of what's going right now in regards to America, Syria, the world, and what's happening with this horrific tragedy that took place with the gassing of human beings. Context of that, you can hear that in the first hour. I want to continue on so we have enough time to be able to talk about it, because as Christians, we don't need to jump on the political wagon. We don't need to jump on the popular wagon. We need to stay on God's side. And God is a just God, and God wants justice. But God is the one who issues justice, and we have to spend time with him to find out what it is. We have to ponder the narrative we need to walk in is the narrative of God, not the political narrative. And all they're trying to do is constantly just buy into narratives, and historical narratives that are accurate and true are being prostituted and used today and put over unauthentic happenings, and people are beginning to see them as what the other thing was, and it's not the same thing, but it is an injustice. So you have to look at it clearly, like, what is this particular incident? And so I'm talking about in regards to, you know, obviously America is at the throes of, are we going to begin to fire? I mean, every war starts with one shot. World War I and World War II started, oh my goodness, a microcosm of what's been happening today. This whole world is on the edge. It's on the edge. Every way you could think of, it's on the edge. And there's still men who want to rule the world. Mm-hmm. They want to restructure the world. And there's technology today that helps people fulfill their evil desires to want to rule the world. But remember, Satan told Jesus, he said, listen, all these kingdoms have been given to me. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Jesus didn't call him a liar. He just said, don't think so. Mm-hmm. So don't be confused, men, from that moment on, from the time, the beginning of time, you know, men have wanted to rule over and rule the world. And so we're seeing today where this horrific tragedy took place. Reportedly over 1,000 people, right? 1,000 people were gassed, women, children, and men. But also 100,000 people have been killed in this civil war taking place in Syria. And you got to catch this whole part that I talked about, because I don't want to repeat everything that happened in the first hour. You just got to connect the two and listen to it in its entirety. But understand this, you got to consider context of making this decision. What's the biblical perspective? So that you can actually call your representatives and say, listen, and just allow them to listen to this, or just tell them yourself, you know, pray about it and get a biblical perspective of what's going on, because all of us are surrounding Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100,000 people have been killed already. 1,000 have been killed instead of being blown to pieces and cut in two, or, you know, their hearts cut out and chewed on by the adversary, and that's actually happened. These, which is, by the way, it's just very horrifically evil as well. All of a sudden now, 1,000 of the 100,000 were killed, which the United Nations says, we don't know who did this, but were definitely killed by chemical weapons. And everybody's trying to figure out how to respond to this. Understand that Israel now is totally surrounded by the Arab League, which is 22 nations, Islamic nations, who mean Islamic nations means this, that the Quran is their law. You know, Muhammad is their prophet, and a caliphate is their goal. I mean, they want to be able to operate under that political system established by the Quran, which, by the way, is against anybody who's not Muslim. You know, it basically says in the Quran three things: convert to Islam, or become a slave, a servant to Islam, and pay a tax, or die. Mm-hmm. And in regards to Jews, you know, they're supposed to be destroyed according to Islam, according to the Quran. And Christians are considered infidels and blasphemers according to their religion, because we acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only mm-hmm. way to God. And they say that there is no Jesus as the Son of God. There's just Jesus as a prophet. Mm. So they're anti Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you claim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's considered blaspheme against their prophet Muhammad. Hence, when we have a president who stands in the United Nations and proclaims this statement, you can hear the statement on the VFN Torch. Our president said the future does not belong to a people who blasphemes the prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I could coexist with somebody who, you know, serves whatever God they want to. But if you imprison me and beat me and kill me and put me in servitude because I worship the God who I worship through Jesus Christ, we can't coexist if that's our plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, you can't people say it's a peaceful religion. You got to read it. You got to read the Quran. You can find out a comparison. You can go to the VFN Torch and just type in, you know, the Quran versus the Bible, and just look at the comparison of the two. It's the antithesis of the Bible. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you had soldiers that were surrounding these men they caught, and they were fixing to kill them in Syria, and they're all crying out for Allah. They're all crying out, you know, Ali Akbar, and they're all in their own minds and their own hearts. They all obviously are thinking, my last words have to be this, because this is what I'm told. If I die in the name of Allah, then I will go to heaven and I will be rewarded.
Mm.
And so the last thing on their lips that they want to be able to say, this is why when the terrorist planes were flown into the Twin Towers, that you hear them saying the very same thing, because if you die in the name of Allah, this is actually a good thing in their religion. And which means that we're walking into something that is major. We're embracing something that is against anything that's not Islamic. We've empowered this. The Egyptian people blame us for empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, but you can watch it. We knew it. I told you prophetically before the world even knew it on VFN Radio. We told you on VFN Radio, on VFN TV, you can see every bit of it before it happened. This will build your confidence to continue to listen, to understand how to prepare for tomorrow. But we're the reason. Our current leadership is the reason why we've embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. We've embraced Islam as a peaceful religion. And there are peaceful Muslims, and there are, but the ones who are radical and part of the Muslim Brotherhood and who believe the Quran from cover to cover and are loyal to Muhammad, it's going to be a different encounter. And so now Israel is surrounded, a piece of land that's 90 miles wide, I guess, approximately at its widest point. Syria is on its northern border. The whole world's pointing its guns at Syria, which is like 1 millimeter off Jerusalem with the pointing of a gun. We're floating in the Mediterranean now with our big, huge ships, our power, our strength now, which now means every side of Israel is now surrounded by those who embrace Islam, because we've opened our arms and we've totally embraced Islam too. And we embrace what Islam believes and the Muslims believe about Jerusalem and Judea. And the reason why that happens is, when you think about when we were, America was choosing our leader, behind them, when they were deciding whether Jerusalem would be accepted as the capital, would America, you know, what is America going to say? What is America going to say? And you think about it. And they discovered, when they looked at the rules and the platform, they said, they realized, obviously, behind the scenes, that Jerusalem was no longer acknowledged as the capital of Israel. And so a minister stands up, a Christian minister, Methodist minister, who probably, you know, I think he's even a former governor, I'm not sure. In the midst of all the Americans there, one American stands up and he says, I'd like to make a motion on behalf of America and behalf of the president who feels the same way, that we put Jerusalem back in the platform, that we believe that it should be the capital of Israel. So he's making a motion, Robert's Rules of Order. They end up taking a vote. All those that are for, yay. And the room says, you know, some were for. All those opposed, and there was more no's than there were yeses. Mm. We're talking about our guns are probably proverbially 1 millimeter off pointing at Israel, at Jerusalem. Not just Israel, but Jerusalem. These chemical weapons are right on top. Damascus is right 90 miles out of Haifa. Israel's now surrounded by those who embrace the Islamic faith, including now America, whose view of Israel is obvious. And so they come out and take a vote again because they realize the no's won it, and the no's got louder, and finally they just pushed it through, even though the lady said, you got to give them what they want. You got to give them what they said. And they went and said, okay, the yeas have it, and they didn't. And then all of a sudden, you see this man who's holding a sign. The sign says Arab American, who obviously he embraces Islam, and he embraces the views of Israel. He stands up. And he profiles this pastor in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. He looks at him. He points at him. He takes a picture of him. And they boo as loud as they can for them pushing through what? Jerusalem as the capital. Listen, we are on the edge. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but our president is embracing Islam. He's embracing the Quran. He's embracing those who want to destroy Israel, who actually boo a Christian minister who stands up and acknowledges what God acknowledges in Joel. And nobody even knows it. Mom, if you hear right now, listen to the president. This is the president speaking at the United Nations. The United Nations. This is our president who now has warships sitting outside of Israel in the Mediterranean at the United Nations. Listen up.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
You hear that? That was his voice. The future must not belong to those who blaspheme the name of the prophet of Islam. Well, you have to understand, a lot of times people think blasphemy is when you're like, you're saying bad things about them. No, actually just not acknowledging them as God. Mm. That's be considered blasphemy. This man who just said that at the United Nations, September, by the way.
Ooh.
1 year ago, now has his warship sitting on the west side of Israel. And we have Americans, Christians, they're talking about. You think this is, the enemy's a deceiver. You're thinking Syria, but you got to understand, they're thinking Israel. You're talking Syria, but then their heart is Jerusalem doesn't deserve to exist in the hands of the Jews. I'm just telling you what I know prophetically. I'm not telling you that all of a sudden I have some physical evidence of this. I'm just telling you what God says, that says that Israel will be surrounded on every side by the nations. And who would ever thunk that a day would happen that somebody like America would embrace Islam, which was the original battle that we fought, and that's why Marines are called leathernecks, because they put leather straps around their necks when they went out to fight Islam, because they would cut off the head of the Marines. So the Marines would put leather bands around their necks so that when you couldn't cut their neck off.
Wow.
That's why they're called leathernecks. That was the original war we didn't want to get into. We had to get into because of this kind of stuff. And now we're embracing it. We're embracing it. We're talking about a biblical perspective, God's news behind the news. Listen, man thinks one thing, but God knows everything. There's something going on here. Maybe those involved may not even know what's going on, but the truth is God knows what's going on. Our defenses have been weakened. We've embraced our enemies who publicly say they want to destroy America. This is not good. We must pray for the protection of Israel. You better get a dollar bill over that border to Israel. God better see you doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Get up with CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Find out CUFI. You can go to our website, vfntv.com, and find out how you can connect and partner with those who are partnering with Israel. You need to pray. Your prayers count. That's why the enemy's got you not even thinking about praying for Israel. Because history will be judged on how we deal or don't deal with Israel. Support Israel. Pray for the families of these 100,000 victims, these victims of the Civil War. In Syria. And begin to pray and speak to your representatives and say, did you ever think about getting the Arab League? Let's just stand behind the Arab League since they are part of the same national league over there. And we just support them and their money and their soldiers and their wisdom and their relationship with King Assad. And if anything, don't kill the Syrian people because Assad did something. I mean, if anybody deserves to be disciplined directly, it would be King Assad. It wouldn't be the innocent women and children who are wondering if you're going to bomb there or not. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Christians are being persecuted. And our nation is reportedly not doing anything. The Kurds are, American Kurds are on being interviewed going, they want to get a visa to get out, but they can't get out. America will not accept them. What are you saying? You're seeing JJ, and we'll talk about that, the Jews and Jesus. This is what's going on. The true persecution is against those who are gods. Possessive. And finally, I want to say this. Well, it's two things. I want to say this. Finally, to compare how the Jews were gassed by Hitler to what's happening in Syria couldn't be any further than the truth. But they're taking the narrative. They're taking the narrative of how unjust and how evil what Hitler did to the Jews in Germany in the concentration camps, and they're comparing it to this, what's happening in Syria. Israel was not at war with Germany. The Jews were not at war with Germany. They were upstanding citizens. They worked, they lived, they played. They were your neighbor. They owned businesses, employed Germans. They were blessed and they blessed others. This is a totally different environment. They weren't harming anybody and nobody should have been harming them. It was because they were hated by Hitler and they were hated by Satan because they were God's people and his hate was coming to this man called Hitler. He so hated these upstanding citizens that he forced them to begin to wear an identity patch on them that identified them as Jew. It was a progressive thing. You first had to identify them. It was a progressive thing. You first had to identify them. And then for a while, if they were comfortable with that, and everybody said, okay, those are the ones that we're going to progressively come against. But they didn't know that. They just thought, hey, this is just to help us. We're just trying to help you here. It wasn't much longer to all of a sudden their homes were snatched from them. Suddenly everything was taken from them and they were walking down the streets. I mean, they were left their businesses, their homes, their neighborhoods, their friends and everybody. And they're walking down the street with a patch on there identifying that these are God's people. And they're throwing manure at them and they're cursing at them and they're spitting on them because they bought into the propaganda of Hitler. This was what was happening, and they were going and marching to a ghetto where they were going to force them to live like 10 families in one particular room. This is nothing like Syria. They're marching down to the ghetto. They move them into this locked-in small 10-family per apartment and force them to live their life in the context of that. Now, they totally separated. First, they verbally separated Israel. Then they visually separated them with a mark on them. Then they tangibly separated them while leaving them close by in a ghetto. That it's not over. And then suddenly they begin to take the men out of the ghetto, and they said they're going to get back together again, but they were actually taking them and killing them and taking them to what I'm going to tell you they're taking them to. And then finally they got them all and they put them in a train and they made them convince them, we're going to take you to a safe place. We're going to take you to a safe place where, you know, all this hate that we stirred up against you, that's what was going on. We're going to concentrate you in an area. So they carry all their luggage and they're going to get on this train like you would get on a train, and they didn't realize they're fixing to park them and pack them into a cargo train. Pack them into a cargo train like sardines and just throw their luggage out in a big stack of stuff. And there was just bodies piled there. So many bodies that people died and suffocated as they drove them to this place. They said there was going to be security. And when they arrived, it was a field. It was a piece of land that they put barbed wire around. And it had these different places inside of it that people were potentially staying in. And they got off the train and said, I know you're hot. And I'm sure you're dirty and you want to get a shower. So they walked them right into a place where they could get a shower, they thought. And then they walked into this room and there was hooks on the wall. And they had hooks where you could hang your clothes, which you would do in a shower. And they hung their clothes. And as they stood under the shower nozzles to take a shower after this whole long journey, instead of water coming out, gas came out and killed them, gassed the Jews. And then they threw their bodies in ovens and threw them in mass graves. Sir, there's no comparison. No comparison to what happened with the gassing of the innocent Jews in Germany and the civil war taking place in Syria. It's evil, but there's no comparison with those two. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Date night on a dime. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. When you're scheduling that next date with your spouse, Jill Savage says your goal should be connection, not spending a lot.
You know, it doesn't have to cost money. It just means that you are intentionally spending time together, just the two of you. We love to go to a local bookstore, and we have an old house that we live in, a 100-year-old farmhouse, and we're always renovating something. And so we look at old house books together, and we dream and laugh and kind of say, oh, that would be a great idea to do in our house. And then we close the book, put it back on the shelf, and go back home. And we've had a date, and it hasn't cost us an arm and a leg.
Meaningful, inexpensive dates. Something Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin have written about in their book, Take the Date Night Challenge, 52 Creative Ideas to Make Your Marriage Fun. You can find it and more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word that's coming out that moment in time from the VFN Dream Center. You need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it, spacious skies, purple seas, and purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. But one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and do be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing to talk about getting a biblical perspective, biblical wise perspective, God's news behind the news for Syria. And I wanted to say this last part in understanding. Right now, reported by CBN News, even this morning, Christians are saying, who are being persecuted all throughout this Arab Spring that our current leadership is promoting, they're saying that America is being totally unresponsive to the persecuted Jew and the persecuted Christian. That's a sign. Mm. That's a sign when you see the journey and how you end up in the ovens. It's a sign. And they said that the American bombing in Syria will embolden the opposition, which is radical Islam, and they'll want to establish a caliphate. And as soon as the bombs hit, they said they'll begin to retaliate by killing Christians as immediate. That's how you know. Mm. It's just real. It's not that complicated. It is complicated if your mind's blind and you're not a believer. But if you're a believer and you get right with God, you can see what's going on. This is a war between God and Satan. And Satan wants to kill as many people and destroy as many people as he can, many of the people, before they make a decision to follow God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. And why in the world would you punch Israel? Why in the world would you punch a Christian when America comes and retaliates against your king, supposedly, for gassing someone? Mm. The reason why is any reason to take out any Christian, any Jew, anytime, anywhere will be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And CBN News reports, as they're interviewing the Christians in Syria, they're saying, listen, please don't do this. America, please don't do this, because the second that bomb hits, they're going to take us out.
Mm.
And they're the ones saying, this is not a battle between men. This is a battle between Satan and God. Don't get in. Don't do this. Don't do this. And it's like, oh, Lord.
Wow.
You know, you want to pray for our president and pray. I mean, he's probably got 10,000 people just bombarding him with all kinds of ideas and concepts. And this I can imagine the principalities pushing on leaders around the world and our president. But you know what? God loves him, and God can speak to him. He can change us in a moment's notice. And just as we just saw, you know, all of a sudden it just goes to Congress. And Congress is your representative, and things can turn. But understand this. This is what the Syrian people were saying, the Syrian Christians were saying. Just this morning it was reported on the CBN News that they're saying the second you bomb, in other words, if you stand up as a Christian in America and say, listen, we don't want to be able to spend our money over there, or we say bomb, 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 either side of that equation, and all of a sudden Jesus gets persecuted, the body of Christ gets persecuted, think not a miracle will suddenly be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right before Israel went into captivity, Israel said, who is this people to come against such a great nation? And I was listening to Secretary of state John Kerry speak before the nation and the world about Syria. And this is the one statement he made, which is drove that home. He said, America is the only irreplaceable nation in the world.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, we're gone.
That's the end.
Are you, did you just say we're the only irreplaceable nation in the world? Dear God, we just ask you right now that you would forgive us for that statement. That you have forgiven. You could take us down, God, in a moment's notice. We know we stand because you gave us, you said you'd look for someone to stand in the gap and repent on behalf of the nation. We repent right now for that.
Yeah.
We know that we live and breathe and our nation stands because you let us stand. And we want to be those men that say, God, forgive us for that pride. That's not true. Your God and above you, there is none other. Have mercy on us as a nation, God. End abortion, end this crazy Islamic embrace. Bring a third of great awakening to this nation. So what we're seeing is what we've been telling you, JJ, the Jews and Jesus, this whole thing, and I'm giving you a biblical perspective of Syria right now. Wouldn't it be wild if you're actually cheering on your own destruction? Because when the Lord showed me before John Kerry did what he did, God showed me John Kerry prophetically about 24 hours prior to that, in a vision, a dream, showed me it. And I knew what time it was going to happen. Did I not say, let's look at 106. Yeah. Boom, at 106, he said it. That if this thing goes down, I really believe immediately there's going to be a class adjustment. And Jews and Christians are going to be in the bottom class of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we already are in the hearts of those who don't love God.
All right.
But there'll be, I saw us on the bottom floor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For this one, it's important what's going on. It's very important. It's not just a whatever. It's very, very important. World War I and World War II started with much less. And World War III is right here looming. It's almost like the whole world's being pushed into some world so they can reconstruct the world. As George Soros says, we've got to, these borders are in the way. So when you're thinking about this, think about the context of where we are. We're in the Valley of Decision. We're in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Think about this scripture. We're surrounding Israel. You heard his own words to the United Nations. You can go back and listen on the VFN Torch. Hear our president say, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to fight against every negative type of Islam in the world. He embraces the Muslim Brotherhood. For some reason, he doesn't see them the way historically that they were seen. He empowers them in Cairo. He fuels what Iran's doing in Syria, understanding that they're the ones fighting against King Assad. And all of this whole thing surrounding Israel, including us, it appears, are embracing the narrative of the religion Islam. After booing Jerusalem as the capital, booing God, 12 months ago today, mind you, in the Mediterranean, with the same Russian Navy, we're floating, our boats are floating in the Mediterranean right near the very same Navy that was pictured behind them when they made this statement, when they were choosing a leader, our current leader. It was the Russian Navy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all this stuff's converging. I'm sorry. This is it. This is the thing. But you know what? If you get into the Word and read the ways of God, we still can cry out to God. We can still say, Lord, we've sinned. It's us. This is happening not because evil men are getting away with things. God's allowing evil men to have their way because we have sinned against him. It's all about Israel. It's a war against God. It's not a war against Allah. It's a war against God, who gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's about Jesus saving your soul. God loves you so much that he has a plan for you, but the devil hates God and hates God's people, and he hates everybody who's created in the image and the likeness of him, which is mankind. But I got news for you. This awesome, loving God is also a judge. And he's going to bring every nation into the valley of decision, the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that's where we are right now. I never would have thought America would have joined in with this, but we're right in the middle of it. And this is what he says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. And I want you to have all this in context when you're opening and you're posting things on your Facebook and you're talking to your representatives. And I encourage you to give them this. Go into the VFN Torch and send your representative this conversation. This is what God says. He says, I will gather all nations and I'll bring them down. I'll bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the valley of decision. And he said, I will put them on trial. I mean, God, imagine standing on trial before God. I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people amongst the nation and they divided my land. Isn't it interesting, 12 months ago, church, that the conversation of our leader and the choice of our leader was, will we divide Jerusalem from Israel? Mm-hmm. And the Arab Americans stand up, profile the pastor that brings it up. They boo God. They boo Jerusalem. The military, Russian military fleet that was right behind them when they're proclaiming this, when Vastai opens up the entire thing, and all of a sudden, 12 months later, we're floating out there with that picture, embracing Islam, which is a hater of Israel, has no problem with pushing them in the sea. And we're like, dear God, have mercy on us. Everything's about to shift. If, in fact, we fire that shot across the bow, which God, if you can go back and listen, that's what God did. This is all God. Mm-hmm. If we fire that shot across the bow, then our empire is going to suffer. The American nation is going to suffer. I can't tell you how, but I can tell you, yes, the world as we know it will be totally different.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation. And this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody. There's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell, mm-hmm. and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to
to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the great suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share. And God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
And joining me is Pat and John.
My goodness. You know, guys, today so many people right now are talking about why things can't be done. They're talking about their limitations. They're talking about obstacles and challenges that they face. And I just saw a video. I just saw a video that so challenged me. I don't know if I'll be ever able to say I just can't do that. I saw a man by the name of Richie Parker, who, instead of turning his life over to his life circumstances and saying, you know what, these are the cards I was dealt with, so I just can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that, you know what, I'm going to do something. On YouTube, there's this video. We're going to make this available for you on the Torch, but I want you to listen to Richie Parker's story. This is a man that does not have any arms, was born without arms. We have people today because they have certain situations in their life, because certain setbacks. I want you to listen to this and be encouraged to say, listen, all things are possible. Look how this man has lived his life and what he's been able to achieve and accomplish without any arms.
How do you get through your day? Make it from one place to another. One task to the next. How do you do it?
Every step of the way in life, there have been people that said that I can't do things, said that I couldn't ride a bicycle. There have been people that said that I couldn't live on my own, couldn't get a good job and support myself, or I couldn't go to college and graduate. I don't listen too much to people when they tell me I can't do something. There's not a whole lot that's going to stand in my way. There were a lot of people that when I first started at Hendrick Motorsports, they had no idea what I could do and what I was going to do there. I have some guys that I'm good friends with now, and they told me that when they heard I was coming and when I first got there, their biggest thing was, what is he going to do?
Hendrick Motorsports is the most winning organization in NASCAR. From Jimmie Johnson to Jeff Gordon to Dale Earnhardt Jr. For any engineer drawn to racing, it's the elite destination.
We need to add a little clearance there for Will. All right.
For Richie Parker, it's been the job for the last 8 years. As a vehicle engineer at Hendrick, Parker designs chassis and body components for all four of its race teams and does all his design work the way he does most everything, with his feet.
It's very demanding. When we have somebody like Chad Knaus that comes back from the racetrack and he says he needs something next week that's going to help him win a race, then no is never the answer.
Richie Parker was born in May 1983 in the coastal town of Beaufort, South Carolina. Right away, his parents knew something was wrong.
He said that there was a little issue, a complication, with the baby, and I said, what? And naturally, I think he moved me a little to the side and said the baby did not have arms. And I just was sort of dumbfounded, like, what do you mean?
Doctors told the Parkers the abnormality was the result of a non-genetic birth defect, creating bilateral amelia, a limb deficiency.
I'm thinking, how are we going to get through this? How would he eat? How would he open doors? How would he do just the normal day-to-day things? Once I saw Richie, it was no question after that.
He was the cutest baby. You know, he was the cutest little boy. After about 5 minutes, it was, when can I take my kid home? Just give him a kid.
We wanted his childhood to be as close to any other child's childhood as possible. That's always been our attitude. We are going to make it work. We might just do it differently, but it will work.
We put this on the door, and I can grab onto it like this, with my shoulder, and pull it out.
There were always things around the house that made it so that I didn't need to ask somebody else for help to do it. And that was always important to me. I had two parents that from day one tried to make it so that my life was, I guess you could say, as normal as possible, whatever normal is.
This came off a larger bike, somewhat like a beach cruiser.
The other kids in the neighborhood had a bike. Well, Richie's gonna ride a bike. And we understood some of the dangers. We got long handlebars and bent it up and then bent it out, and we welded a bar across from one handlebar to the other. And after that, he rode the bike with the other kids in the neighborhood. And he was just a kid riding his bike.
As a teenager, Richie's sense of independence found its sharpest focus in cars.
I always wanted to drive. I was told by a few different people, well, if there's a bus in your area or if there are taxi cabs, then that's all you need to do. You just use that as your transportation. But that just wasn't me.
When he was 15, Richie spotted his dream car, a 1964 Chevy Impala SS. The Parkers convinced the owner to sell it. 15 years later, it's still Richie's ride.
If the bicycle gave him a certain degree of freedom, the car, I think, gave him a greater amount of independence and pride. When he's in that car, everybody's on the same level.
In truth, Richie's entire life has been one remarkable study in engineering.
We think for the code, we think for the hand prepared. and ask that it be used for the nourishment of our bodies. Amen.
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 I might go both days.
Nearly every task requires ingenuity.
I can't say there's anything that I can't do. I don't know that there's a whole lot in life, period, that I could say that I can't do. Just things that I haven't done yet.
That attitude carried Richie to his current job at Hendrick.
I think I had about 20 resumes that I went through before I settled on Richie's. I knew he could do the things that I needed him to do. It was more a question of how.
We've got a few updates that we're making to this fixture to make some of the parts more durable and more adjustable than it is currently.
We sat down and he showed me how he works on the computer and how he does his design work. I write with my right hand, you write with your left hand. He happens to write with his feet.
Parker's initial internship with Hendrick was supposed to last 10 months. 8 years and 5 championships later, he's still here. How do you get through your day? Make it from one place to another, one task to the next. Don't ask Richie Parker. He's already moving on down the road.
I'm just never satisfied. It's what drives me. I don't know where it comes from. And sometimes it kind of drives me crazy, but that's how I live my life.
That was Richie Parker, man that was born with no arms. I mean, you got to see this video on the torch. We're going to make sure it's, you know, embedded yes. there for you. You got to see it. But he rode a bike with no arms. He drove a car without any arms.
He's doing better at life with no arms than about 5 of us combined.
Exactly.
He's an engineer. Operates a computer with his feet.
A grinder with his feet. Amazing. You've got to see that. You've got to see that on the VFN Torch. Well, I want to say right before we close out about the G20. The G20 is taking place. That is, it was built and established based on the economy that 20 countries would get together, 20 countries' leaders would get together and determine which way that the economy would go in the world. Because remember, thank you, Woodrow, that... that in the context, he said, listen, if we tie the economies together, then we'll never have a world war again. And 100 years ago, almost to the day. And isn't that amazing, 100-year plan?
Brilliant.
And so if you remember, if you've been listening to the prophetic words, and you can find them on VFN Torch Gun to Prophecy, that Deuteronomy's grandson was given a vision by God. And the vision we talked about was that China, Russia, and North Korea got into a covenant and said, listen, why should the American dollar be the dominant figure in the world today? And think of the journey that we've got to this one point, because the G20 is meeting right now. And guess where they're meeting? They're meeting in Russia. And as they were going, and all these kings and presidents or whatever are coming to discuss the money, the currency, that's what they're called to do. Guess who was leading them all? Who was leading all the nations financially in this walk? The president of Russia, Putin. See him right there?
Mm-hmm.
You can see this on the VFN Torch. And guess who was last in the procession? The very last one of all the nations to come along. In the church, we got to get over this coincidence stuff. We're going to coincidence ourselves right up under some gas showers and some ovens in the future. You got to understand that if you read God's word, these things happen, even if they don't even know they're happening. America was trailing in the economies of the world. We had a visual of what was going on. Russia has been humiliating our country, humiliating our president. It's a Russian base reportedly in Syria that they're really wanting to hit. And Syria has, Russia has Russian military hanging right out there outside Syria and say, reportedly, according to sources, that they're talking about putting an iron curtain, right?
Yeah,
around shield to be able to protect them the way we put one around the former Ottoman Empire area, Turkey. And now here we are. There's your visual. You'll be able to see this visual right now, the G20. And the G20, like I said, represents the economies. And you're looking at that word just kind of unfold. Mm-hmm. And see, pride is so blinding that when you have it, I mean, that's why you need people in your life, because you have no idea that you're moments away from your fall. That's why we have to keep our heads low and the Lord high and spend time with Him and let people know our life, because pride comes before a fall. And here's the president of the United States of America, one nation who used to be under God, indivisible, with liberty, with all the most powerful economic power in the history of the world, one that used to stand with Israel and that Russia would fear, and radical Islamic Muslims would fear, trailing behind all the kings, because that's all the kings, it's all the leaders. That's all the leaders from all the nations. And if we're going to look, you can look at the picture and see, and you can watch the whole procession right there. It takes a long time. Every nation comes by. Mm. And out of the middle, like, where's America? You're looking for America. Where's America? Where's America? Where's America? Mm-hmm. And way back, where everybody's already entered into the dinner already, all of a sudden comes America.
Wow.
And we don't even know, right in our very eyes, the fulfillment that we're being humbled as a nation, that God has established a set man because we have rebelled against Him. We have to turn back to God. If you have not yet watched on VFN TV or heard, Is America Under God's Judgment? What do we need to do? You can at VFNTV.com. You need to get the truth into you so you can respond, because all God wants us to do is turn to Him and say, Dear God, I see it now. I've sinned against You. Forgive me, Lord. Restore me. Save me. Save my family. Save America. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.